You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Flitter from MLB.com, and I am here to talk to Corey Brock about a ton of stuff that is going on with the Padres and a lot of recent happenings. So, Corey, let's just open it up and explain to us all of the transactions that occurred as we're recording this about less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, where do we start? Yeah, a number of things. Probably the most notable one, there's two of them actually, and they are related. The Padres traded Will Benable to the Rangers for a minor league catcher, Marcus Green, and also a player to be named later who's going to be the kind of the primary piece of the deal. And we'll find out more about that as we move forward. But, and Will Venable, this is a guy, he was the longest tenured Padre, Allison, made his debut in August of 2008. A guy that played an awful lot of games for the Padres, played all three outfield positions, had some very memorable moments here, especially on defense. I think about a couple catches that this guy had, one in San Francisco a couple of years. If you get a chance, it is an absolute gem. A la Willie Mays running back to the warning track, diving to catch a ball. Rob Mike Trout with an over-the-fence home run. But, really a good Padre and a good teammate. This is a guy who's a four-year college guy out of Princeton, worked his way up through the system, and, a guy that people kind of gravitated towards, just a really grounded individual, was heavily involved in community efforts here. And just a good Padre, I guess, if you had the no other way to put it. But he'll be a free agent at the end of the year, and so obviously you're looking to recoup a little of value there. So Will Venable's gone, and then we're going to see a newcomer in center field, Travis Jankowski. He was a sandwich pick a couple years ago out of Stony Brook in New York, and he'll be in the lineup. He's going to play a lot moving forward, Allison. This is going to be kind of an audition for 2016. They like his skill set. He's a left-handed hitter. He has plus speed, plus defense, and especially in this ballpark and on these big ballparks in the National League West, they hope this can play big. This is a homegrown guy that they control for a while, so he's going to get a chance to play between now and the end of the season, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
So with Jankowski, had there been some momentum building for him? Were people starting to talk about him? Was he somebody that I don't think we've ever talked about him? Has he been like on the radar of like fans and people in the know as somebody that might be ready? Like, okay, let's see what this kid has.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've always really liked him, and certainly picking him, he was 44th overall a couple years ago. He sort of got waylaid last year. He suffered a wrist fracture in April, and only limited him to about, a shade over, 100 or so at-bats last year. So he'd kind of been playing catch-up, but really hit the ground running this year, hitting well over 300, two minor league stops, stealing a lot of bases, taking some walks, not striking out a lot. I think this is a guy that could profile a top-of-the-order, a one- or two-hitter, ideally. And like I said, in this ballpark, I think his skill set fits pretty well. So, I think he got waylaid with the injury last year, but they're still very high on him. It's kind of funny. I know the area scout who signed him, Jim Bretz, up in the Northeast, he actually signed Will Venable and he signed Travis Jankowski. So it's kind of like, handing the torch off a little bit with, Will has been here since 08. Now, I think the Padres are hoping this is the start of the Jankowski era.
So let's explain to our listeners who might not understand this. This is just sort of complicated when it comes to the player to be named. So we see that it's like going to be a key component to this deal, like maybe the focal point of this deal. And we don't even have a name to attach to it. And it's not as if the other team just gives the Padres whoever they feel like. So, let's kind of go into that a little bit. Usually there's a group of players, or it might be like a draft pick that actually can't be traded yet. I mean, can you just explain sort of some of the scenarios that go into the player to be named?
Yeah, I'll keep it real basic because it can be a little complicated here. In many cases, the player to be named later is a situation where the team that is forfeiting the player or giving up the player, they sort of agree upon a list of guys, several guys that, in this case, the Padres could choose from. And then the Padres, you know, having done their due diligence or doing it moving forward a little bit, will ultimately choose that player by a certain date. There's another caveat, too, which I think could possibly pertain to the Padres here with if there's a player involved in this deal that maybe has to clear waivers. So, you know, we'll see moving forward what kind of player this is going to be. But, you know, the Padres have a list of guys that they're looking at, and ultimately we'll have to make a decision on. But it may also be someone who was recently placed on waivers. You know, I think yesterday, in order for the Rangers to make room for Venable on their roster, they moved an outfielder, Michael Choice, off their roster. He might be a guy they're interested in. So we'll have to see for that waiver period to expire, to see if the Padres indeed choose him or if they choose one of the guys on that list. So, yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see exactly which direction they go.
Okay. And to talk about some of the guys who are actually on the team, so, of course, Vandenberg, hey, I got his name right, he's back from the disabled list, and there may be some questions about how is he going to be used? How is he going to get some playing time?
Yeah, and, you know, I think they want to take a good look at him, too. He's a young, exciting player. He offers some speed, something they don't really have an abundance of. You know, he offers some versatility. He could play second. He could play third. You know, the other day, Allison, we saw Jed Jerko play shortstop for the very first time as a professional. Now, you got to go all the way back to 2010 when he was playing in the Big East at West Virginia University to remember the last time he played short. So, you know, I think they're trying to look for creative ways to keep, Yan-Hervis Solarte at third base. He's kind of turned into one of their better hitters, really, in the second half. Jerko's been swinging the bat a little bit better, and then look for a way to get Spangenberg's bat in the lineup. So, yeah, I think they're going to try and find creative ways to do that. So we may see a little bit more Jerko at short and Corey at second base. So, yeah, you know, these next 7 weeks should be kind of interesting, especially with Jankowski here now and how much they're going to play him. I could envision a scenario, Allison, where it's kind of a left-right platoon with him and Melvin Upton Jr. in center field, and certainly Jankowski would get a lot of at-bats because he's a left-handed hitter, and certainly you're going to face more right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching. So, you know, I think if you're a Padre fan, certainly this has been a tough year, but at least, you know, this is something to kind of look at and maybe look forward to.
So here's a really odd stat, I guess you call it a stat, a happenstance, but the Padres, before Matt Kemp hit for the cycle, had never had a cycle in Padres history. How is that possible? I mean, they've been around since 1969. It's not like they've been around since the early 1900s. But you would think at some point this would have happened. I mean, we've been focusing on the fact that they're the only team that still does not have a no-hitter in its history. But no cycle? How is that possible?
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. And, you know, there was a stat, and I wish I had it in front of me here, Allison, maybe you do, but like how many times they'd gotten close or how many times they needed one more hit, and then there's a stat about how many times they needed a triple. And I think we could all agree the triple is the most difficult and elusive component of the cycle. And sure enough, Matt Kemp got the triple in his last at-bat in the top of the ninth inning in a game on the road. So, you know, you kind of had a lot of factors have to work in your favor in order to make that happen. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, some guys just fall out of bed and hit for the cycle, you know, and some franchises and all that. And the Padres certainly still looking for their first no-hitter as well. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. But, yeah, kind of a fun night for Matt Kemp. And certainly I think the way that ballpark in Denver sets up, Allison, with the big outfield, and you can get some funny caroms. And that's what you got for the triple that yeah, kind of a fun historic moment.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And if you look back, I mean, it's not like, I mean, the Padres obviously in the last, you know, 10, 15 years have had a hard time developing really the star hitters. Everyone says, I can't believe Tony Gwynn never did it, but it's that triple. It's the triple factor that I'm sure was possibly preventing Big Tony from being able to come anywhere near the cycle.
Well, yeah, you know, it was funny, Allison, after the game, you know, and I had this anecdote in my story when, as Kemp is sliding in the third base, Glenn Hoffman, who is, you know, Trevor Hoffman's brother, been with the franchise for a long time, certainly knows the history. And Matt Kemp gets up and he's like, this is my first one. And Hoffman said, like, well, I forget the interchange there. It was kind of funny. And Hoffman's like, no, that's the first one for the franchise. And it was Kemp's first one as well, but Kemp was completely unaware that the franchise had never had one. He even said afterward that he was surprised that, you know, especially with someone like Tony Gwynn, had never got one before. But, you know, so many, you know, some good hitters. I wouldn't say there's been a ton of great hitters in franchise history, but I think we could all agree that Tony was a guy that had the skill set that, that could have done it and maybe, you know, should have done it at some point.
Yeah. Well, very interesting stuff, Corey. Thank you so much. And I guess next week we'll talk about possible September call-ups because it's that time of year. But I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Allison.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.